Hello, I'm Jim Mallard, host of The Mallard Report. On The Mallard Report, along with my guest, we will have a conversation where we will share thoughts and opinions. For more information, my bio, past shows, social media links, and so much more, visit mallard.com. MALLIARD.com. And thanks for listening. Thank everybody for joining us this evening. Before we begin, I want to send you all over to schoolofairs.com. Dr. David Perodin's new book. He was on the beginning of August with me. We discussed some of the common sense approaches we should be taking to school safety, including prevention instead of trying to fortify our schools. At schoolofairs.com. My guest tonight is Kelly Setcliff. Setliff. Which one is it?
Setliff.
I had it. Should have just left it alone. Anyways, how are you doing tonight, Kelly?
I'm doing awesome. Excellent, actually. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for, that's the stars aligned, right? Is that how I want to say that?
That's right. Sometimes it's that, you know, it's a very synchronistic type of energy we're in. So there's a lot of synchronicity that plays on. So, you know, even like this evening, you know, an opportunity came open on your program and you know, I had sent an email, and before you know it, here I am. So it's kind of cool how those things happen.
And she'll have to forgive me for the random email I sent her this morning. Like, that is probably the worst email I've ever sent anybody, but I know there are times, like, I'll follow up with somebody, like, you know, they'll send me one, and I'll have this situation, and there's no point in me typing that big, hey, I've got an opening tonight, da-da-da-da-da, and they'll get it Thursday. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to do it. Let's do it. I'm like, well, the show happened 2 days ago. Thanks.
Yeah, so. Everything's timed, right?
So Kelly is a psychic medium. So when did you first realize that's what you were? Take me way back in time.
I'm going way back. Okay, so I was probably, I was born with this. We all have psychic ability, we all have intuition, but some of us are ramped up a little bit more. And you know what, kind of our souls pick this world to, you know, raise our hand to be in it. And when I was a young girl, I would always have spirit, like, in my dreams. And, you know, I would know when people were going to pass over, or when, you know, babies would be born, or events that would happen beforehand. And I can remember a real distinct opportunity with spirit was after my grandmother had passed. I was 9 years old, and I ended up, she came into a dream, and the dream was so real. She was sitting with me. I could tell you today what she had on. She was a very spiritual woman herself. You know, she was a farmer in Illinois, planted, you know, the crops by the moon cycles. You know, she was a very, you know, genuine, you know, intuitive lady. And intuitiveness runs oftentimes in families. And sure enough, my grandma Sloan passes away. She comes through in a dream to me, giving me information on her passing. I'm talking with her like I'm talking to you. And you know what? I give this information in the morning to my mom and tell her that Grandma Sloan was in my room and tell her everything she said. And my mom was like, typical mom, which was, okay, Kelly, that's nice. Put your uniform on, you know, and get ready for breakfast for school. Kind of like, uh-oh, what's going on here? But back then, you know, you were real protective of children and this type of ability. And, you know, I went to 12 years Catholic school, so say no more. And, you know, you never kind of talked about any of that kind of stuff. But today, psychic ability is so more renowned. We have programs on TV, radio programs. I just hosted a radio show. I've done bits and pieces on TV. You know what? There's so many authors in the field, and people are feeling intuitiveness, and they're feeling psychic ability. And so when this work started coming in my world, you know, I can even remember back when I would be scared of it, so I would shut it off. And my mom was real protective of it, like saying, oh, Kelly, don't tell everybody what you feel or see, you know, as a protective measure. So I learned to be protective about it. And when I can remember even in college, one time I was you know, going to go for a run at the track. And I heard in my head, don't go, like screamed at me. I'm placing my sneakers, right? And I went to Western Michigan and University in Michigan. And so as I heard that, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't go. Well, the next day, there was a young gal named Julie Cunningham who was found underneath the bleacher. She was strangled to death and killed. And so I, and, you know, her perpetrator was caught, Tim Bergman. And, you know, but it was so, you know, another experience that I heard intuition stop me. And so, you know what, I learned to, you know, work with it in my life, but I shut it off and shut it down, okay, in many forms throughout my world, because you know what, you don't want to go to like a cocktail party and say, you know, hey, Kelly, what do you do for a living? And, you know, you tell me you're psychic medium and they'd walk away from you. They think you're really weird. Or, you know, Kel, what's the lottery ticket tonight? You know what I mean? What's the numbers? Where today, because we're so open in our worlds and people are more curious and feel it and sense it and they do it themselves, that they're automatically involved, you know, that you can tell them what you do and they'll say, you know, what cases are you working on today? What are you doing? You know, tell me about your new book. And consequently, people are more, not so much fascinated, but curious because they feel it too. You know, another example of that throughout my world, especially with 9/11 being tomorrow, I call this my 9/10. So this is how spirit kind of preps you as a medium of what things can happen. So prior to 9/11, I was, you know, kept seeing planes crashing, and I would have, I'd be like driving and start crying, and because I kept feeling like, oh my God, something bad's going to happen. What's going to happen? And at the time, my husband, I had three little kids at the same, in 3 years, so I had little ones at home, and my husband was traveling like every week to California, every other week, and he was off and on flight 11 going to California out of Boston. And so I kept thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to get into a plane crash. And this is why I'm getting these visions. But it felt so, so heavy. And many psychics will tell you prior to 9/11, they were all feeling that too. They would see things, feel things. So my husband gets, he's supposed to, you know, be on that flight. And a few weeks before, he gets sent to St. Louis instead. Flies out the night before. But on 9/10, I was sitting in circle. And when you practice as a medium, you sit in circle and you work with other psychic and mediums. And we challenge each other and work with the people. So there's this fabulous medium in Glenn Edwards who was in town from England. And we were doing a circle with him. And that evening on 9/10, you know, it's kind of like speed reading, you know, like speed dating, but it's speed reading. So you're going around in a circle and you're reading everybody. And that evening, we were getting the weirdest messages and we couldn't figure out why. And we just thought, okay, it's just kind of an off night. But the messages that were coming through were people were seeing like President Bush and seeing fire around him. They were seeing firemen go upstairs. They were seeing building crashing. And we couldn't place it. We couldn't figure out, you know what I mean? Like where this was going and what was happening until the next day. So the following, week, of course, you know, Glenn Edward couldn't get back to England, so we have another session. And, you know, it was during that time, you know what I mean, that people started giving off messages from people who had transitioned. Because you have to remember in Boston, where we were, there were so many people that were affected because they were all on the planes, you know, heading out. And so people who were in our group knew people who had died, and that was, you know, so spirit as a medium will often, in my world, precursor to events that occur, and good, bad, and ugly, right? Because we live in that kind of times of things. So, you know what? So in my work, I kind of like, you know, shut things down for a while to become just a mom and do my bits and be a successful real estate agent. And then, you know what? Once I flipped the switch, and it was really right around that time, around, you know, the 9/11 time or that time frame when I was really studying and working and started in this work. That's when I really started, you know what I mean, to ramp up this world and quit a very successful career in real estate to work with spirit, and I trained a lot. So I trained with people who were from England, Scotland, and Ireland, and to kind of fine-tune this work on how to open up with this work, how to give a good message, and then how to close off after you get done reading. So, but spirit always finds you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I laugh all the time. It's like, okay, I could have picked any town to live in, and I'm originally from Michigan, and here I land in Andover, Massachusetts, which is 1646 established, and there's about enough spirit around here to go around for a few states. You know, that's how heavy we are over here. So, and I'm sure you have that with your work, you know, and people that you work with too, right? With everything. But it's really all about, you know what I mean? We just are really, in this line of work, we have a psychic role in many ways, you know, throughout my work. You know, I truly never wanted to be one of those psychics that read. But that's how I do my work. I always wanted to be just a healer. But, you know, so I did a lot of Reiki training and a lot of spiritual healing like that. But, you know, so just like in any industry as a psychic medium, it takes you in different venues. And, you know, as I look back, because, gosh, I've been reading for about 18 years now, in the pathway it's taken me, it's been the coolest ride ever. But it's also been in the space where, you know what, I never thought I would ever do private investigations. And I've done private investigations for the missing, and I've been successful in helping finding people and or giving evidence to, you know, detectives, so that people can take that information and then go forward and research it to find the evidence to, you know, hopefully go towards the case or to help solve the case. So, you know, again, Jim, it's always amazes me. I'm always humbled by this work that I do, because it's always something that's something useful and helpful from my day-to-day readings with clients, connecting with spirit to, you know, going forward to working on bigger cases or what have you. So, but, you know, I always say spirit always finds you, and spirit always, always, always will find you, you know, everyone, because, you know, your past loved ones want to come through. They want to give you messages, especially after they pass away. You know, they want to let you know that they're okay. You know, they're always around you when you're having tough times. You know, so, you know, you should be reaching out to them to say, hey, dad, mom, you know, sister, brother, whomever, you know, lend me a hand. Give me a sign that, you know what, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, And spirit's really good about giving signs. You know, I'm sure all your listeners have gotten signs, you know, from their loved ones and past loved ones, you know, whether it be symbols or signs or music or a song that plays, so that there's confirmation that they're around you. I hear those stories constantly in my work every day. So
hold on. I was going to say, there's a lot of information there, and that's good, and I'm sure you've got to learn more, but I just want to ask, one of the questions I want to ask now is, you said there was this, for the lack of a better expression, troubling energy before, like, on 9/10. Have you experienced anything like that since, or was that, like, the peak of that type of energy?
No, you know what? There's been, I experienced that before the Boston Marathon. You know, we were actually, obviously I'm from Boston, and you got to remember the Boston Marathon's on, it's always on a school holiday, during that week. So there's a lot of families, a lot of people are off that week, go down to the marathon. So prior, again, the night before, we're taking our family to Antigua for the week, 'cause it's school break. And, you know, I'm in an airport, Logan Airport, at 5 a.m., and once again, I keep hearing, you know, or seeing bombs going off, and I'm like, oh my God, you know what I mean? This is something bad going to happen here. And my first thought is that, geez, if I call, if I say anything, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm getting on this plane to go on this trip. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to, like, put the Christ light around the plane. You know, Christ light is like when you fly or when you're around, for example, it's just you call in holy light, basically, to put it around the city, to put it around your family, your kids before they go up to school. You know what I mean? You're asking for assistance. It's like almost angel energy to come around for protection. So, you know, we're on this flight, and my kids all know about you know, the Christ light, as I call it. And I said to my little girl was like, "Mom, did you put the Christ light around the plane?" "Of course I did, Haley. We're all set." You know what I mean? Kept asking me. My other daughter, Avery, same thing. You know, and so I'm like, we're okay, you know, but all my children are intuitive also. So we fly to Antigua, you know, the day of the bombing. We go into our villa, and we go to check in the villa, and the number is 9/11. And I'm like, oh my God, there's been a bombing in Boston. I've got big confirmation, you know, another sign, right? So sure enough, we turn on the TV, we see everything that happened in Boston that day. My daughter says, Mom, I told you, you know what, to make sure you put the Christ light around the plane because, you know what, I kept seeing bombs go off. I thought the plane was going to blow up. I thought, saw all of this. So that's an example. When I look at, you know, events when someone says to me, "Hey Kelly, I want you to do some predictions, or I'm going to do some PR or something like that," and I tune into spirit or tune into my guides, what I'm going to get. I did this prior to, you know, our last election, about 14, 15 months before the election, and I would just keep the person who's doing some PR for me said, "Hey Kelly, you know what? Just put together your, you know, give me some predictions. You know, we're in an election year. Who do you think's on the tickets? Who's going to win?" So I throw my intuition in the out, and okay, and I said Trump, Hillary, and I said, and Trump wins. And at the time we had about 14 or 15 people, you know, running on the Republican ticket then. And so my publicist was really funny at the time. She was like, "You sure you want to put that out there?" I said, "Hey, I get what I get. I'm giving it. That's what I get. Give." But during that time, I also was receiving all these messages about Paris. And I kept seeing Paris, and I kept seeing terrorism. And then I saw California, and I saw terrorism. And sure enough, you know what I mean? 2 or 3 weeks later, Paris, you know, has a huge terrorist attack, right? And then it happens a few weeks later in California. So spirit does give me information like that, sad but true. But now it's kind of different because, you know what, when it happens a lot, you know, there's certain people that I trust that I could call and say, "Hey, I'm getting this weird vibe. This is what's happening," and I share it. Unlike what happened in 9/11, because we didn't even know what 9/11 would be, right? The whole country was a normal prior to that. And all of a sudden we have this new normal of terrorism in our world. And so, yes, you know what I mean? I have had, you know, many experiences, or, you know, it can be just a general thing like, "Oh, Kelly, don't take 128, take, you know, 495, because you know what, there's going to be a car accident," and sure enough, that happens. So, but, you know, that's just about intuition and trusting and training, you know what I mean? So that when you hear it, you get it and you do it. It's, you know, we're in such a synchronistic energy in our world today. By gosh, if you're not, like, you know, thinking it, feeling it, sensing it, there's kind of something wrong with you, because there's so much abundance of it around us. It's just kind of like training yourself a little bit more to be quiet so that you can hear, so you can listen and trust it.
Yeah, it was something I was thinking about, because often I'll get like flashes or hear something but not be able to develop it far enough to come up with what's the word I'm looking for? The only word that comes to mind right now is sentence, but I know that's not the word I'm looking for, but we'll go with sentences, because, you know, you get the one part of it, but you can't figure out what's going on.
You know what I say to my clients, will say that to me too all the time, Jim, and they'll say that, and what you need to do is, like, okay, when you get those hunches, you get those, you know, quinky dinks, or those hunches of things that are coming through, or something that's really talking to you. Like when you go to bed thinking about something and you wake up thinking about something, okay, it's truly trying to get your attention here, right? That your guide's kind of like knocking on the door saying, hello, wake up, you know, this is what I'm trying to give to you. When you get that, you have to step back and you have to say, ask the question, why are you giving this to me? And your first thought, your first intuition, your first thought that you get in your head, there's your answer. Everybody will, you know, get that first hit, is like I like to say, but then you don't take it to the next step. And that's what people need to do, is take it to the next step so you can then figure it out, right? It's like playing the game of Clue. You know, you have to be able to, you know, figure out, you know, all the characters and who did what and when and stuff in order to get the answer. Same thing with when our intuition talks to us, so we get those psychic hits. You know, you have to take just the next step further. And you know what I always say, practice makes perfect. So when you start to practice it a little bit, then, you know, it'll just automatically feed in naturally.
Another random thing that I picked up from you were working in real estate. The guy's name was there, and then I started talking about this. I had the guy who does the website Died in Your House. He was, and a couple years, I want to say a couple years ago. It might be more than that now. Anyways, he was on my show. We were talking about different disclosures and things that you should disclose and things that you could disclose. And I'm thinking, well, you're kind of on the other side of that. Did that ever enter into anything that you were doing, trying to sell a house?
Oh, and selling real estate? Oh, yeah, I guess a great story. So, you know what? First and foremost, I'm going to say this to everybody. When you go to sell your house and when you go to buy a house, you need to clear your house, okay? And clearing means taking all the negative energy out of your house, keeping it peaceful, loved, harmony. And, you know, when think back in the day, like, okay, when our folks used to buy a house, or back in the, you know, way, way, way back when, first thing anybody ever did was buy a house, and they would call the priest over, or they would call the minister, the pastor, you know, and they would call them over to bless the home, right? So we have totally forgotten that era of the importance of a blessing of a home. And we need to be more like Native Americans back in the day, and they still do, is when you buy, you know, they always cleared their land with, you know, white sage and lavender. Okay, to ward off spirit, to ward off that negativity, to have good crops. You know, that's history. And we need to be a little more Native American to our homes. So it's super important that you clear your homes. Well, sure, selling real estate, you know what? I could go into a house and like, oh, this energy is so heavy. And you know what? Because I was a little more educated probably than the normal real estate agent because of my background, I would clear the house. And a few times other agents would know what I would do and say, hey, Kelly, can you come over to the house? I would clear the house, and before you know it, there'd be an offer the next week. So, you know, energy's huge, right? Everywhere. And I would say, you know, if you don't clear your house, it's kind of like not taking a shower for like 30 years, okay? Because that's the energy that a house can hold, or where I live, 200 years, 100 years, you know what I mean? You know, to where everything is so old. And sometimes energy gets trapped and it just sticks and it stays. And, you know, I can remember, you know, a woman, I was in a home and, you know, doing an open house, and I saw a woman sitting in a chair that was in like the living room. And when you see it, it's not like they're just sitting there the whole time. It's just kind of like a blip. It's kind of like a little flash. And you see the energy of the person. And I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, it's okay. We're going to sell your home. There's going to be a beautiful family that's going to own it. And it's like talking nice to somebody. It's not a stranger. This soul's house, right? And she's holding on to it for a while because, you know what, it feels weird. Her energy's still around it. So, and then, you know, then before you know it, things get cleared out, and you know what, in the home sold. Or, you know, plenty of times we'd be selling, you know, working with clients, and when you would be showing a house and be like, okay, they wanted the great room, they wanted the, you know, 3-car garage, they want the, you know, 3-bath home, 4 bedrooms, beautiful. Let's move into nothing. You walk in that house, and it's everything they're looking for, but it doesn't feel right. And they don't know why it feels right, but they're not going to put an offer in because it just doesn't feel right. And you know what? Then you find out, okay, you know, someone has passed in the house, you know what I mean? Or, you know, have possibly committed suicide, or that there's been issues with, you know what I mean, a divorce, and it's heavy energy because the house hasn't been cleared. So, you know, that's where, you know, that's where the benefit of, you know, kind of my both worlds was able to flip in with it. But truly, you know, and I think real estate agents would have a heck of a lot easier job if they were actually, you know, would hire a medium once in a while to clear their space. And because, you know what, there's just energy that sticks into homes. And think about the travel of people in a home, right? It could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 families over a lifetime. And you know what? They just walk out the door and hand somebody else the keys and leaving all the residual, you know, yucca behind. Put it bluntly. So, you know, it's super important that you actually, you know, kind of ground in to do that and be conscientious, because, you know, your home is your where your harmony is, right? And, you know, you don't want to let any negative energy in there or keep it there. You know, I always joke, if there's a ghost in your house, you know what, the better, well, you know, if they're not paying the mortgage, then they shouldn't be there anyways, right? So, but that's really, you know, logistics. You know, you had your time here, now it's time to move on and go forward. So let somebody else, you know, live in this existence. So.
Wait, I shouldn't kick my kids out. Never mind. That's a whole different thing.
yeah, so.
Sorry. You said, I noticed that you, when did you do radio from, I guess? Let's start with that fun, easy question there. Because that was a couple years ago.
You know what, probably, I had a radio program called Psychic Cup of Coffee, actually, that was broadcast in about 4 markets and podcasted and different things like that through networks of radio. And it was called Psychic Cup of Coffee, and it was great. I get to interview, you know, pick people off, you know, my world, and we would just talk about, you know, how our psychic world is and all types of great authors. And so I did that for about a good 4 years. And then, you know, I've been guest on radio programs like yourselves and, you know, other programs, a few bits here in TV, different programs that I've been asked to be on. So, you know what? It's a great forum to be able to connect about this whole world. Loved it when I did it.
Yeah, there's fun parts about both sides of it. I haven't decided which one I like better yet. Of course, that's hard to, you know. It's like when somebody asks you which one of your children is your favorite children. It's kind of hard to decide that too, right? Well,
that's right. And Steven always is.
What are your thoughts on the Ouija board?
Ugh. Don't even go there.
Huh?
yeah. Like, okay. So like I said, okay, so I'm a big component about doing this work right. Okay, training in it, doing it right. So yeah, let's give you know, these little 12-year-olds, you know, a Ouija board, okay, and, you know, and throw them into, you know, a tool where they don't know how to open up, they don't know how to close off the most important piece, and let's throw them in there to goof around with spirit. So what do you think they're going to attract, right? They're going to attract some...
Well, they're going to attract more than I did the time I tried to use it, by the way, for the record.
Yeah, you're going to attract a lot of negative energy, and you're going to attract, you know, some scary stuff. So, you know, you got to remember, you know, it's like attracts like, right? So if you're going to be in this work, you're going to have to attract good stuff. You know what I mean? If you don't want to do it the right way and be balanced with it, spiritual with it, then you're going to attract it, some negative stuff. And you're going to have examples of that, all right? Even in my work way back when, I can remember, you know, energies being around me or entities being around me, and it was pretty scary. But that was a teaching lesson to me to realize, okay, you better boundary up and know what you're doing and button up when you're done. Because you know what? You got to be a mom of 3 kids in 3 years and work and do your bits and be normal and go to the grocery store like everybody else and not have any spirit hanging around with you. So you know, but that's the difference is that, you know, children are so open anyways, right? They're the most purest of souls. They have all these experiences. You know what I mean? They're so genuine. They just say what they say. You know what? And kids are really super intuitive and open until about the age of 7. And then when age 7 hits, it's kind of downhill from that because oftentimes people, unless you encourage their intuitiveness to stay on and show them tools on how to ground themselves and how to, you know, be confident in when you hear things, trust instinct, right? That's, you know, that's the good news, what you can do as a parent, what you should be doing. But instead, if a child comes to you oftentimes and say, you know, oh, I feel this, or I saw this in my room, Mom, or I saw this, you know, or, you know, they say things that maybe they would never know, but you know what, they come, you know, they're getting messages. But then what does Mom and Dad do, or a teacher do, or in my case, a nun do back in the day? They squelch it, right? And they say, oh, that's not right, or don't do that, or that's bad, and shame you. So then what they're like little flowers that are blooming, and it just gets like the cold freeze, and then, you know, it dies. So, and then till you're ready, a little bit older, to open up a little bit more and start having these experiences, even though, you know, you were shut down, then it starts to open up again. So the Ouija board thing, to throw your, to use it, to me, ooh, you know what? I've never touched one because it's been so prominent to me not to ever go there. And that's coming from someone who does this work, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan.
So to kind of shift gears, just a, well, not really, it's kind of a lateral move. You mentioned tools. Well, sometimes I go, you know, really hard and go some, you know, take the abrupt left. This is kind of a off to the side kind of deal. You mentioned tools and preparing yourself. Do you have, like, what do you do? I mean, do you have a, because I know some people have their stones or their prayer cards or what, I mean, or do you just have a method internally?
You know what? What I read for someone, and or when I do an investigation or whatever it is I'm working on, I always start off with a grounding exercise. And it's always a grounding exercise about just kind of channeling my energy, grounding into Mother Earth, you know, being able to kind of be the vehicle to give information. With my clients, what I do is I use that tool. I use that grounding exercise with them. We always start off with a quick meditation. And then, you know what, I just, you know, go into the information. So the information will come through, you know, as a medium. Where when I say spirit comes through, that means past loved ones that will come through in the reading and give messages and information. And then how I work is then I'll, then it can oftentimes shift into psychic information. So psychic information will come in about your life, what's that, what you're up to, business transactions, you know, love life, information like that. And then at the end, I always close off with another meditation, little prayer. And then, so in the whole time when I'm reading for somebody, I'm actually opening up, channeling the information, I mean, to channel, give the information, because that's what channeling is, or just give the information you get. You know, no big buzzwords here about that. And you just give the information, and you know what? Then you end the conversation, and that's when you close. So it's really important to have those three sources when you get a reading or when you do a reading. If some psychic or medium doesn't do that for you, then you should be doing that on your own, because then you know what? Spirit doesn't hang around or linger around you, because guess what? You didn't close the door. And so I use that. I hold, you know, a stone or something to ground me. It doesn't matter what kind of stone. I just hold it. And, you know, and that's how I work. You know, everybody has their own tools, like you said. But I'm a firm believer, you know what? You just give the information. You're just, that's how I've always been. Probably the Midwest of me, I like to talk. But, you know what I mean? I don't have to have a protocol, and I don't have to sit in a certain place, or I don't, I'm just not, I've always lived a life that's been super busy with all the, you know, these little, these children around me. You know, it's always been, okay, let's go, sit, spot. You know what I mean? So that's how kind of I read. I read very direct and quick. So, but I think it's important. Everybody has to have a system, and a healthy one, that in my work, you know what, I have to stay very grounded. I ground, when I say grounded, it's like I meditate. Just, you know, it can be just a few minute meditation, but I always, it's important to do that. In fact, my next book that's going to come out is about getting your cup of calm and how to do that and how to stay calm and get quiet. And it's going to be a small book, about 4x6. It's coming out just to give a quick punch on how this whole work, how this whole gig works, about, you know, keeping your energy strong and meditative and quiet so you can receive, because we live in such a kinetic world. You know, and just like when I do a reading, when I read for somebody, they can be very kinetic, right? So we got to blend it. We got to blend it so it comes into the right medium so that we can be calm to get the information. And that's why it's important to have your cup of calm when you do it. So that's how I work. You know, everyone has their own features and modalities, but that's what, how I always was told how to work, and kind of blended it to my own mojo, basically.
It's funny you mentioned book, because then I just jotted down on my paper that I need to ask you about your website and your books, because we've got about 20 minutes left, so I like to kind of get that in the meat of the interview before sure. I forget, because, you know, if I don't do it kind of when I think about it, I feel bad, because I know that's kind of why you're here. So go ahead and give, I know you've got, oh, look at this. I didn't write it down, but I think I see 2 free books on the website, and then you said you got one coming out. So give me all the scoop and all that good stuff.
Okay, here's the skinny. So I have a book, actually, that's already out. It's called Listen Up, The Other Side Is Talking. And it talks all about, like, you know, examples of stories, the story that I talked about with you tonight about, you know, the Boston bombing, about my 9/10. Those are examples of the style of book that it features, and it talks all about my work and how this whole this world works. And, you know, through my work, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'll see information or be guided to what's next, right? What do you know, people need to hear? And so this is where I decided to put together basically a trilogy. That's going to be coming out, but I want to do it in a small book, like a 4x6 book, kind of like a book that's no more than 100 pages, and it's something that people can just pass on, keep it simple, because our world needs to be simple, okay? Nobody needs, like, a lot of pages today to read things, right? We're always so busy, et cetera. So, you know, the beauty of that is actually being able to, you know, which came up with what I talked about earlier. You know, I'm always teaching how do people ground their energy. I was in a book called, you know, with Jack Canfield a few years ago. And in this book, we were like a collaborative authors, and we all wrote, you know, different chapters. And I talked about this daily cup of calm and how to get it. And I work with that with all my clients and showing them how to do that when I read for you. So I thought, you know what, there needs to be a bigger message. So my next book that will be out in the, hopefully in the fall, if not by this, by January, it's called Your Cup of Calm, and it's important tools on how to stay grounded and how to work with that energy so you can be quiet. You know, we're so on all the time. You know, God, if we don't have our phone in our hands, you know what, we feel like we're lost. And you know what, by getting your calm every day and learning just some simple tools and techniques, it can truly change you. I think many, many people will be off depressants, honestly, if they just learn to channel their own energy and not get so caught up in chaos. And that's what it does, is if you start to be calm and learn tools how to do that and just how to be quiet, you know, to listen, then, you know what, you automatically then feel comfortable and you don't get kinetic and you don't get those energy sucks of people around you. And you kind of weed out those kind of people, and it's okay to do that. And, you know, that's where, you know, this Cup of Calm book will be out. And the second one after that is called The Spirit Within You. And that's your connection to spirit and how we all have it. And, you know, that's a genre all about, you know, why we were given that. Basically, from the higher powers of being. And then the last one is what we will be about children and what kind of how to guide your children in channeling their own psychic ability. Because I always joke and say, we talked a little bit about real estate tonight, but I always joke and say, you know, you really technically own your children's energy until they have their first mortgage. All right. So with that being said, you know, think about it. You own them until about 28 years old or how at 30, whenever they get their first mortgage. And this is really about, you know what, how to help them, how to channel it. Like when my children were younger, they were always, you know, they'd be, they were hyper little kids, right? Running around, playing crazy, you know, three kids in 3 years, say no more. And I would be like, okay, everybody be a tree. And the kids would stop because it was a game. And they would be, you know, pretend they were funny trees. But, you know, and then they get to be teenagers, right? And then I'm like, they're all arguing, right? And being teenagers and just being their teenager selves. And, you know, they would be heated in my kitchen, right? With whatever, who's there, you know, talking. And I'd be like, find your peace. Find your peace. I want you to find your peace right now. As soon as you say those words, and trust me, I've said those to my husband too. But as soon as you say those words to somebody, they stop in anger because they're like, whoa, wait a minute. You're shattering my energy here. And so it's those kind of things, you know what I mean, what that book will be about how to work with your children, trust their instinct, their intuition, how to channel, so to help them channel, right? Because if you can teach your children this work, then you know what? Guess what happens? Then they become really great adults about not getting their underwear in a bunch all the time and really flowing. And you know what? Our energy about today is all about flow. It's all about how we can make that happen and not be kinetic and not be crazy and not get caught up into the media spills and of fake lies and different things and believing things that aren't true and just trying to trust in gut. And trusting, you know, how you live your life that way. So this trilogy obviously will be a big part of my 2020. And obviously you can still get my current book, Listen Up, you know, through all the book sites that are out there. And, I just find it actually, you know, to be honest with you, Jim, I write these books, but it's really not me writing them. It's really kind of just information that's given to me. And even when I look at the pages when I'm writing it, I think, oh my goodness, I would never say something like that. So it shows me the information that's come out, that comes through of the messages that need to be heard, I guess. So, which is kind of unique, which is kind of cool. But, you know, that's really, you know, what I'm up to. There's also another book that I'm a collaborative in, which is going to be kind of really cool take. And it's called The Gift Within You. That'll be out in 2020 in the spring. And this is by a woman named Marianne Bohr. And this book is a collaborative book, but it's actually proving the validation of science and research with psychic ability. So there's like 30 psychics in it. There's some pretty famous scientists actually who've studied this work. And so that's a collaborative book that's going to come out and hit the masses actually this spring. So I was able to talk about my work in that book, and we all had to be tested, you know, to make sure our work was legit. And I was able to, you know, be lucky enough to be a part of it. And so that's going to be, you know, so there's going to be a lot of good words out there, I think, from this world, I should say, in psychic ability, coming up in 2020 for many authors, I think, because it's kind of big. It's going to be a big messaging type of year for 2020. So people are going to want those kind of, I should say, seek out that type of information, because it's going to heal them.
And plus, I think people are going to be seeking out anything that isn't political, just for the record.
Yeah.
I know. Touch that with a 10-foot pole with you, because that's not your cup of tea, but I think we're just going to be overwhelmed by it in the way that we currently don't think is possible.
Right. And I think that's what's going to be, you know, part of, that's the shifting that's happening, you know, because people are worn out. You know, they're tired of like, oh, they don't even listen anymore. And that's what's so funny. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, another, you know, political back and forth, right? And And that's where people are just going to be, okay, you know what? They tune it out. It's kind of like, I kind of laugh. It's like we're all becoming like little like 5 and 6 years old, you know, out in the world. But think about like when you used to say to your kids, okay, you know, you got to clean your room. Okay, oh, you got to pick up your toys. Okay, you start singing the cleanup song, that kind of thing. And then the kids just run in the other room and they tune you out. Well, that's what people are doing today on the political focus, right? They can only take so much, and then they just like, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? They get the whatever. It's almost like then they become the bratty teenagers. So, you know, that's kind of the space where, you know, it's like, you know, like the parent that's shouting at you to do this, do this, do this, then you tune it out. Well, society's doing that, and you're right. I think people are going to be more introspective and be more into self and, you know, what's best for me and stuff like that. And that's such a bad space to be in, because when people then kind of do better and do good, you know, do better things instead of just being, everything has to be this way. I think it's going to be more collaborative. I'm liking that part, that I'm picking that up big time. And let's, you know, hope that continues in many ways. But I think it's going to be, you know, an interesting ride. It's been an interesting ride, you know, for the last really 8 years. You know what I mean? When we think about things, how things have shifted, but politically. But I think it's really, you know, just kind of weaning out kind of thing. That's really where we're at in the numbers. This year for 2019 is in numerology, it's a 3 year. A 3 year is always about kind of like, it's like almost like you want to say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a trying year. It's making things right. It's doing things different. It's you know, weeding things out, people out. It's happening within everyone's lives. It's not just politically. And it's also a very fun year, you know, to do things different, to try things new for people. And I think that's what's going to kind of, you know, it's lending itself, or it's building its bridge to do a little different, you know, the next probably 2 to 3 years. It's kind of building that up. But, you know, it's really, you know, it's fun to watch. No kidding. You know, we all have a good time. We all have good conversations at the dinner table here at our house, for sure.
And bad parenting advice of the night. When you tell your kid to go clean up and you start singing the song and they just don't care anymore, go get a garbage bag and start picking stuff up. And it's amazing how fast things start happening. One way or the other. You don't have to look at the mess anymore, or the kid starts picking up the room. One way or the other. It just becomes a game changer once the other shoe drops, so to speak.
No kidding. No kidding. I remember getting threatened with that when I was growing up, my mother. So I have to bring a garbage bag in here. I can remember that. That's funny you'd say that. So, yeah, you're right. It's a game changer. So, but you know what? I think if society got more grounded and planted and, you know, just be kind and think of self, okay, and be centered, all right? My God, you can have your political opinions. You can, you know, whatever way you support, who cares? But you know what? People become unhinged because, in my take, this is my psychic take, people are becoming unhinged, being crazy on the political front because they themselves are unhinged and they're not looking at themselves and how to fix themselves. They're looking at a bigger picture to throw themselves in it and become kind of crazy with things. Instead of just fixing self, get it? You know what I mean? And instead of just being, you know, more centered, if you centered and grounded yourself, you know what? No one would care, right? You would just be, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? It'll all work itself out. You know, just everybody work together. But that's the problem, is that, you know, the people are more centered and focused and just kinder and softer within themselves, within inside. Then you know what? They're not going to glom on to all the political piece. Because you know what? They're going to focus just on themselves and doing good for themselves and in their families and friends or whoever, or their workplace. So, you know, it's kind of a true, you have to have that type of groundedness in order not to take this buy into all the political spark all the time.
So,
and that's what keeps it normal.
To sound like a horrible person here, but I'm just going to ask this question this way because it's fun. So being deep in the heart of witch country, or traditional witch country, Does Halloween have a deeper vibe up there than it does, like, you grew up in Michigan, or is it just my belief that it seems like it's more magical the up that way than it is anywhere else?
You know what? First of all, Halloween's, like, one of my favorite holidays. Like, I love, like, you know, that's, like, a fun night. You know what I mean? You know, some people, and, you know, love having the neighborhood and the passing out, you know, we have 100 kids come through our neighborhood, you know? And, you know what, it does have a nice, people get excited for it around here. You know, maybe that's kind of quirky, but, you know, and this is a funny, not funny, but it's, but this is just like how people are around here. So we've had, unfortunately, a triple E outbreak here in our surrounding areas, right, with the mosquito thing. And so we've had, sadly, a few people, you know, been harmed by that, and a couple people have passed. So, but people have been, like, posting on social media sites here, you know, is this going to affect Halloween? And will they cancel Halloween? Or are we still going to trick-or-treat? Or should we have private parties? Like, people are already thinking that. And I'm like, okay. But you know what? That's kind of, like, you're right. People like that holiday here. And you know what? There is, you know... You know, this is when where I live is in Andover, Mass, which is a very, you know, heavy populated, you know, Salem witch trials has nothing on this town. We were like, we had more people die in the Salem witch trials than anywhere, even prior to Salem. So, you know, we have a lot of that energy here. And, you know, there is that component. And I can say this, like when I do have to go into Salem, I'm like, oh my God, don't make me go to that town. Because you know what? I do feel like that, the heavy vibes there. And, you know, I'll get like heart palpitations when I'm driving and as such. And I remember one of my daughters had to play a soccer game there. And so we're playing the soccer game and I'm like, oh, I gotta get out of here. And so anyhow, playing the game. Haley gets off the field and I'm like, Haley, you ready to get out of here? And she's like, oh, I am, Mom. You know what I mean? And so we go to leave. I look where the soccer fields are. I look to my right. There's the monument for all the people who have passed, you know, died in the witch trials or hung, right, and tortured. There's the monument because where these children were playing on the soccer field is exactly where they were hung. How about that? So... You know what?
It's not funny, but there's just this overwhelming, I can't help it right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, of all places to put it, right? There's the monument. There's, you know, the whole story. And, you know, sure, the kids are just playing there where this all happened. But, you know what? Where we are, we live in such an old part of the country. Like I said earlier, you know, spirits everywhere. And, you know, even where I moved to, the first week I moved in, you know what, I had plans on clearing my house and doing everything I just preached about, and life got really crazy, you know, with a closing that we had, and it didn't happen, and before you know it, I'm seeing spirit come, you know, literally like walking up my driveway around me, my kids are starting to play, play like Indians, and they want to make teepees outside, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, what the heck? And, you know, once I did some research on the area, and we lived by a pond just down the road, come to find out this is where the Indians were settled. And this is, you know, where they lived. And so, sure, you know what I mean? That energy is there, and residual energy is there, and we feel it and sense it. And like we talked about before tonight, little kids feel it and sense it, you know what I mean, what they feel and see and how they play. And interpret, and so it's really, like I said, where we are, we're pretty in a pretty cool area, and we're actually going to be moving and down to Charlotte, North Carolina. So that, I'm sure that's going to bring a lot of new experiences for me too. So, you know what? It's definitely, you know, I think everybody has experiences where they go, right? So you can probably say the same where you live too, but. You know, it's all about making, though, your land, and your space, and not having any, you know, interference with that. Because, you know what, we're here to live life, not to live in, you know, the 1600s and vice versa. So, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, it makes perfect sense to me. So I've got, this is insensitive, but you're going to have to deal with this. A Germantown runner, one of my live listeners in the chat room, is that the best home field advantage in sports?
I just where have to I add. Live?
Yeah, I mean, the field where the witches were hung, is that the best home field in sports? Because, I mean, it, like you said, it's just got to have this weird energy that throws everybody off that isn't used to it.
Yeah, you know what? Think about that. Yeah, you're right. It could be, definitely.
I mean,
or yeah, and or even you know, even people who are you know, it's just you know, that's what I'm saying. It's you could say that all about Boston. I think our Patriots throw a lot of people off for their energy too, right?
Yeah, but they got cursed by Babe Ruth there for a while, so I don't. I mean, I don't know.
But it's you know, again, we're. You know, there is, I mean, even driving my kids to their local high school back, you know, in the day that my ultimate children are in college now. But, you know, when, you know, we drive past a house where, you know, it was the only man who was the person who was hung in the witch trials, and that's his house. So, you know, tons of kids are just walking past and driving past it, you know. So, you know, it's very, it's been an interesting ride, to say the least. But what it happens so often, you know, in my world or what I pick up on, the average person doesn't pick up on so much on it. But, you know, it's also the space where people are really, you know what I mean, that, you know, I can tell a million stories on where I've been, England, Ireland, you know, where we end up, the Sutliff family traveling. And you know what, before we know it, we're seeing spirit left and right. And so, you know what, it's kind of, we always have an interesting story, to say the least, but it's also, you know what, there's lots of people feel that. You know, I don't think you have to be a psychic to feel that. You can go into some space and say, oh, something doesn't feel right, or what is this? Or you see a flash of something. But the main thing is you have to always remember, nothing can harm you. So you always are protected, and you just have to remember that. So, you know, that's the important piece of that other piece of it. So, and once you say, okay, you know what, get out of here, you know, you need to get out of here, leave, your energy's not welcome here, as soon as you say that, they leave, they have to. So, because they know that they can't stick around. So you have more power over that type of experience than people actually think.
So as we have about a minute left, I want to give you the opportunity to promote your website and all that other stuff again, but I also want to give a shout out that it's cool these sites still exist. I mean, and they're being remembered.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, we have about a minute left. I want to give you a chance to shout out your website. I think it's really cool that these sites still exist and we're honoring that history.
Oh, yes, definitely. Most definitely. Agree. And, you know, my website, actually, if anybody is interested in consulting with me or grabbing my book or what have you, is psychicmediumkelly.com, and Kelly is K-E-L-L-E, and you can, you know, see my work and see future work that's coming up on that site, and, you know, I'd be happy to read for anyone out there.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for the message and for the chat this evening.
Hey, thank you. I know, again, serendipity all around, right?
Yes.
Love it.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was fun. I hope you all enjoyed tonight's program. If you have not, taken a moment to subscribe and rate the show, please do. You'll be hearing that a little bit more often from me. Long story. I know, he's sitting there listening and he's laughing because I didn't do it earlier, but yeah, you know. Show happens. Have a good night, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the host and participants. For past shows, social media links, and so much more, visit Mallard.com. M-A-L-L-I-A-R-D. .com. And thanks for listening.
Thanks again, Jim. Have a good night.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.